Welcome to Come Follow Me On The Go. My name is Kylie, and this podcast is designed for families and children that are in the car and on the go. Each podcast episode, I will be sharing stories and scriptures from the Come Follow Me lesson plans. In addition, discussion questions are provided so families can pause the podcast to discuss and grow closer to Christ and closer together as a family while you are in the car and on the go. Okay, welcome back to Come Follow Me On The Go. We're going to start in Philippians chapter 2, verses 14. And this verse is fairly simple. Paul is teaching the Philippians that they should not do anything with murmuring and disputing. So he's telling them, don't whine and complain about the tasks before you in this life or the challenges before you. He is teaching them that even an easy task or challenge, if we are complaining and whining, can become very difficult physically and mentally. And if the task is already difficult, it can become almost insurmountable, right? We can't conquer it. So a fun little example of this is actually there is this dad who takes his kids hiking. They like to go backpacking, but he tells them the one rule he has is he will not let them complain. So if they complain, he's allowed to put a rock into their backpack to make it heavier. So every time they want to complain, their hike is literally physically getting more difficult because mentally it will as well if we're negative. So what a fun little lesson that Paul is teaching them. Even while he is like still in jail and having a difficult time, he's not whining and complaining. He's just grateful for the blessings in his life. Okay, so Paul in chapter 3 now, verse 8, he is telling them that he lost everything he had prior to Christ, right? He has lost it all. And he says, I consider it to be dung. Like it is not worth me having it if the prize is to gain Christ. So he's still in jail and he's saying, I will take this hard, difficult time in my life for the benefit and the blessings of gaining Christ. So are you willing to lose everything that you have for Christ this week? So here's a little challenge. There is a thing called Lent where people give up something until Easter. And granted, it's not Easter time. But how fun would it be to like, I'm going to sacrifice something that I enjoy, that I love. I don't consider it to be dung, but if it gets me closer to Christ, I'm willing to do it. And maybe you will think it's dung afterwards. So you could give up maybe watching TV, or you could give up listening to music, or you could give up to candy for a week, whatever it might be. Think about it, chat about it. Maybe you do it as a family, maybe you do it individually. But what is something that you'd be willing to give up to get closer to Christ? Okay, so in Philippians 1 verse 6, there's a really simple scripture that I just love. It brings so much comfort to my life. But Paul is teaching them to trust and be confident that the work that Christ started in you, he will finish. So the fact that you know about Christ and you love him right now, or you're learning to love him, Christ is only going to build on that until you are living with him again, right? He's not going to give up on you. Okay, so Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6 now, Paul teaches that we should, in verse 4, he says, celebrate Christ every day. In verse 5, he says, make it clearly known to those around you that you follow Christ, right? We don't have to be shy or bashful about it or embarrassed about it. And we also don't have to flaunt it, but it shouldn't be a secret that you are a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. People should know that. 6, don't worry. He says, instead of worry, you need to pray. And if we do this, we are promised to have peace and keep our hearts and minds through Christ. Now, the word keep in Hebrew can mean to be protected and guarded. So we will have peace and our heart and minds will be protected through Christ. So just like anger previously in the other podcasts can give a foothold to the adversary to manipulate us in our decisions and our choices, so can fear as well. So Paul is teaching them how important it is in verse 6 to not have fear, not worry, but to trust Heavenly Father. And if you remember last week, when we trust God, we have like endless energy and strength. Those were just some more of the blessings besides having peace and being kept. Our mind and heart will be kept through Christ. So here is a little bonus idea for you guys. I have this dear friend of mine, and she has this prayer wall that I just love. She and her kids will, like, if there's something they are praying for that they really feel is important, they will write it on the prayer side, the prayer board. So every time they walk past it, they remember, oh yeah, we're praying for that. Maybe they say another silent prayer outside of their normal family scripture time. But when that prayer is answered, they move it over, still on the board, but on the different side, to like the answered side, so that her kids can see and recognize that, like, we pray for things and we do get answers to them. This prayer was answered. We received this, we received that, or maybe we weren't supposed to do it, but that they can just like visually see and remember, oh yeah, that was answered because we prayed for it and we trusted Heavenly Father. So I have two little questions for you. One, verse 4, I just love, how can you celebrate Christ every day? Like, we do a great job of celebrating him Christmas time, Easter time, but how are we celebrating him every day? Maybe it's just because we are doing small little acts of service. Maybe we're doing it through our prayers with gratitude, but talk to your family. How do you guys celebrate Christ every day? Okay, and then also in verse 6, what is something currently that you, maybe you're worrying about, that you could hand over to Christ and you could get that peace, get that energy and that strength and be kept, be protected and guarded through Christ? Okay, so we're going to stay in chapter 4, but we're going to talk about verses 11 through 14. We're going to focus on 11 and 12 right now. So in verses 11 and 12, it's super awesome. Paul is giving us examples of how he's been educated on finding happiness regardless of his circumstances. So he uses some words that can be kind of confusing. He says content, which in this case can mean happy. And he says abased, which means in need. So he says he was instructed on how to be full and how to be hungry. He says, I've been taught how to abound in like blessings and to suffer and to be in need. But regardless of all of that, he tells us that he basically says he has found the recipe for happiness, regardless of if he's in need or if he's full, if that makes any sense. So that's super beautiful. What do you think the recipe for happiness is, regardless of our needs? Okay, then we're going to move into verse 13, which is absolutely one of my favorite verses ever. It says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. This is one of my absolute favorite scriptures because it literally is my mantra for life. I found it at a time in my life when I needed it. And seriously, every morning, every night, every time life was difficult, I said it. I said, I can do all things through Christ. And then I would say a little prayer like, Heavenly Father, I need some help right now. So I just challenge you guys to use it this week. If there's something hard, just remember, like, there's nothing I cannot do with Christ on my side. Okay, we're going to go ahead and move into verses 15 through 20. And in these verses, Paul is telling them how he left Macedonia to preach the gospel. And no one in the church sent support. Like, no one even remembered he was, like, out serving, pretty much. He said, but the Philippians did. They never forgot Paul. He describes the gifts as being more than he needed And they smelt of sacrifices of the altar, is what he says. He let the Philippians know that because of their generosity towards him and Christ's church, that they will be blessed and God's generosity will exceed even their own generosity.
So this is a fun little thing to just think about of like, who do you know that's out preaching the gospel in one way or another? Maybe they're on a mission. Maybe they just have like a hard calling. But like, what is a way that you could send them or give them support, right? Maybe you are friends with the Relief Society president and you know how stressed she could be. And maybe just a plate of cookies. Maybe it's the bishop's wife who is possibly lonely because the bishop's busy a lot. Maybe you do have a missionary out in the field and you want to send him something from his home state. Chat about it as a family. How can you let someone know that they're not forgotten and show them generosity and support this week? Okay, we're going to move into Colossians 1, verse 16. And this is such a fun verse, and I hope you guys don't think I'm nerdy. Super simple lesson. Paul is teaching them that Christ made all things in earth. Oh, sorry. In heaven and in earth. And then he describes the things that that Christ made. And he describes them as being visible and invisible. And it just made my mind like, oh, how cool is that? That their science was not where our science is today. Did they even know there were like invisible germs and atoms and molecules and DNA, like all these invisible things that make up everything on the earth? Paul is teaching them that Christ made these invisible things. Paul goes on and he describes some of the other things that Christ made. And he says like thrones, dominions, principalities. And he says powers. So what powers have we been blessed to have restored on earth for us to utilize in the gospel of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints today? Okay, we're going to move into Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. And I really hope that I can like gather all my racing thoughts for these scriptures and that they make sense. Oh, I'm sorry. We're actually in 1:23. So if we read this verse, it says, if we continue in faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard. And I kind of, for a while, maybe I just missed it, but I kept like scouring the scriptures like, okay, this is an if then, like what's the then? What's the promise of if I am grounded and settled and stay in my hope? Like, what's the promise that's coming? But I couldn't find it. I'm not a scriptorian. Maybe I missed it. But the more I sat on the scripture and pondered it, I kind of came to my own blessing or then of the scripture. I have a couple of thoughts that came to me, but I'll share two with them. The first one that came to me is this. I'm a little bit granola. So I love to, if I'm getting overwhelmed or stressed or even just tired, I'll go outside and I'll stand barefoot in the grass and just like soak up the sunlight and just like reground my body with nature, and it will totally settle or calm my emotions and my nerves. So I thought, oh, well, maybe that's kind of the blessing of being grounded and settled in our hope of Christ, is that we can have peace and comfort in our times of need. And then I also thought, what else does grounding mean? And it made me think of electricity, right? So an electrical current, I'm no expert, but if you have a grounding with an electrical current, it can provide a measure of safety from being like electrocuted. So I thought, well, maybe if I'm grounded and settled in my faith and I continue in my hope, I have a measure of safety and security in Christ, right? From the fiery darts from the adversary or just from the challenges of life. Maybe it provides a safety net. So maybe that's the if and then. And then if we continue reading in Colossians 2:7, we get another really cool picture of this scripture says, be rooted and built in Christ, established in faith as you have been taught. So that also made me think of a tree, right? Its roots are going into the ground, but we are being built. We're building that tree or growing that tree in Christ and through faith. It made me think of a seed. Like we put the seed in the ground, we settle it in the dirt, and that seed has to have hope and faith that like rain and sun will come. And the interesting thing that my mind also thought about is like Christ is the Son of God. So we are hopeful and we have faith in Christ and that he will return. And that is what we like build our whole foundation on. And we get peace and comfort and love from all of that. So I guess my question is, what do you guys think the like if and then of verse 23 would be? If we are grounded and settled and we do not move away from our hope, what do you think the blessing of that statement would be? Okay, so this next scripture also had me kind of like, what does that mean? So maybe we can figure it out together. But in verse 6, Paul teaches them, the Colossians, that their speech should always be grace. And grace can mean like kind, beauty, delightful, refined. And then he continues that it should be seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. So seasoned with salt, like what does that mean? Typically, a little bit of salt, like in a soup pot, right? Doesn't take much and it makes the whole pot better. So how do we season our kind words that we know how to answer every man? Like I was just a little bit confused. My only thought is that Paul is trying to teach us that a healthy conversational soup needs to meet everyone's needs individually, right? So I know that I could say to one of my kids, you are so strong, you are so hardworking, and those are the positive, delightful, kind words that season his needs, right? That's the salt he needs. Whereas a different child might need to hear, you are so kind, you are so beautiful, you are so artistic. And those are the salt words that are going to build her up. So our words should always be kind and uplifting, but there are tweaks that we can make, small little adjustments that suit each personality specifically. So I know we kind of played this game previously, but I think it can be fun to do it again and just tweak it a little bit. Try to think about your siblings' personality, their interests, their goals, and give them three kind words that you think pertain best to them, their salt, right? They need to hear that they are athletic, that they are smart, that they are kind, that they're a child of God. We all need to hear that one. And then see how it goes. See if it felt different than when you were just complimenting them of what you see, not what they need. I also thought, do you think the salt could ever be small doses of correction given kindly? Okay, so Colossians 2:14 is super awesome. Paul teaches us that there will be a blotting out of the handwriting of ordinances that are against us. So that little sentence means our sins, our mistakes, the things we've done wrong. He says those are taken out of the way and they were nailed to Christ's cross already. So our sins can be blotted out and erased and forgotten when we follow the repentance process because of Christ's sacrifice for us. There's a really cool experience that was shared with me by a bishop of an interview that bishop had had with like an Area 70 or one of the first presidency. I don't really remember. But basically, when they were in this interview, his life like flashed before his eyes, like everything he'd ever done. But what he noticed was all the things that he could remember had happened, but that he had repented of, weren't there. They literally were blotted out of like the records of heaven of what had happened in his life. And that was such an amazing thing to hear of. Literally, when we repent properly, our mistakes are forgotten. They are erased. All right, that is all that I have for this week. Thank you for joining me. I hope that your families were able to grow closer together and closer to Christ while you were in the car and on the go.